cheers. And all of those listening on the World Wide Web, it's time for What's Your Sign? I have your number. Have you been making the most of your local and abundant harvest this season? I'm Sharita Starr, and we've got a great show today that will get you even more in tune with how to make that harvest even heartier. The food show's Jean-Claude is my very special guest today, who, along with those mighty planets above, is about to tell you what's going on.
Lost in the beauty of the sky, breathing the moon, the colors of a rainbow, shed too soon, firefly, flick a smile, shine like the sun, if life's about the journey, the miles begun. The wind's tainted cry, sail soaring seas, watch trees as they die, for you and me. Tell me now, what's happening? Tell me now, what's happening? I tell you, you tell me what's happening.
Good morning again, Gray Barrington, and to those listening upon the World Wide Web at www.berkshireradio.org. I am your host, Sharita Starr, welcoming you to another edition of What's Your Sign? I Have Your Number. Today is Tuesday, the 7th of September, under a moving and grooving 14 degrees Virgo sun. Now, normally I would tell you if you have your astrological birth chart, go on and get that out. But if you don't have to do that today, because there's plenty you can learn in the hour ahead if you are listening at home or in the office on your lunch break. Today, we're keeping it simple, and all you need to gain plenty of fun self-knowledge is the day and month that you were born upon. We are, under the current Mercury retrograde, revisiting a topic covered back in the April of 2009. Today's show is all about planetary foods and how you can hone in on the foods that make you tick the very best that you can according to your key astrological and numerological data. Now, I couldn't talk about what to exactly do with our local harvest without having a very talented and a local guest to help me in bringing you some stellar advice on getting the most delightful flavors out of your favorite foods. I'm going to introduce my very special live guest today in just a minute. And yes, we have a live one here at the WBCRLP 97.7 FM Great Barrington Studios today. But touching back to those present planetary skies and that 14-degree sun in Virgo, the sign that is not only about the harvest this time of year, but they return to educational pursuits, paying attention to our health, study, and just about anything and everything organized and perfected. Today's energies at the 14th degree denote to be extra cautious with movement, and yet do take advantage of the precise communicative ability that can be at your fingertips today. Well, do remember to slow it down, however, for our trickster Mercury is still not looking where he is going. Been a little zany out there since the 20th of August, hasn't it? He'll be going direct on the 12th in a few more days, so don't you worry, folks. It's going to be over very soon. Our moon is about to become new once more in Virgo, having just entered the same sign as our sun at 5:53 a.m. this morning. You couldn't ask for a better day to dive into the details at hand. Just be aware of being too nitpicky or fussy. Well, it is wise at this time to recheck everything, being you know Mercury is still doing his retro thing. Getting too caught up in details never allows one the full scope to see the bigger picture. So even though we will be taking in a new moon tomorrow at 6:30 a.m., and that's Eastern Daylight Time, be sure not to totally dive into this new waxing phase until after the Mercury goes direct upon the 12th at 7:09 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So back to today's topic of planetary foods. Did you ever wonder Did you ever wonder why? You just absolutely love particular foods over others? Well, today we hope to shed some light on why you do. Planets not only can tell us about the different facets and layers within our personality and areas of life, they have more valuable messages to tell us about through the very foods that we eat. Now, I will disclaim that what we discuss here today is not meant to be taken or substituted for any medical advice you are currently following. Our topic is being presented at a point as a point of interest that we think you'll find, uncannily enough, agrees with your planetary palate all the same. Now, I am an okay cook, mind you, but I thought how much more fun would it be to have a genuine local expert help me in the area of culinary knowledge. It is my honor to have with me here today a definite expert in the area of cuisine and from far beyond the Great Barrington WBCRLP's listening range. And our very own Jean-Claude from The Food Show is here.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning, Jean-Claude.
Yeah, good morning, Sharita. This is about retrograding planet, right?
I liked your email to me about the retrograding vegetables.
Yeah, we're getting to that. I have a question, though. Would you explain to us what will be the strong influence of retrograding planet, beside the weird things who happen? Why is it such an abundance time for the vegetable? It's actually the most fertile month of the year.
Well, Virgo is,
and it happens to be my birthday month.
I'm about to talk about your upcoming New Year too. It's very exciting. You got an exciting year ahead. Plus, you must be you're going to be thrilled that Saturn has left your world for another 28 years. So that's going to be good for you. But the retrograde thing and why, you know. Or why do we have harvest now? That's your question.
No. The question was more, I think, deeper than that. What is the influence of a planet retrograding on the abundance of vegetable on Earth? Is there anything, or is it just cosmic spell?
I never really thought about that. Well, you know, it's like things that you may expect to grow better don't, and things
because
that
of the alignment of the planet
right
at the moment.
It's interesting because being that Mercury is, and that's the planet that we're talking about, Mercury does control movement.
So Mercury is the one to retrograde.
Yes, that's the
so they go backwards.
Something
scared it.
Well, see, the thing about Mercury is he is the planet that rules communication, how we talk, etc., thinking, mentalities. The biggest things that happen under Mercury retrograde are like, you know, you misprint things, you missay things, cars like to break down.
You put yourself in bad position, glitches, I guess I like to call it.
It's not that like the world is coming to an end, but like your appointments change, people are delayed, because Mercury kind of takes away the initial thought.
Okay.
And it takes away initial focus because it's not going forward in forward
okay
motion. So it allows people to
it's
be
like
a little
a
more
suction,
careless.
It's like a suction kind of effect.
Yeah.
Oh, probably why things goes off the earth.
Right.
It'll grow off
well,
the earth.
Well, when planets go retrograde, they're literally kind of not even going technically backwards, but as far as astrology we'll look at this
right,
there is it goes backwards in the degrees of how we clock how the planets
the planets
just kind of like stationary, it just isn't doing anything.
Yeah,
so it's not an auspicious time to like sign legal documents and all, you know, those are other types of things that Mercury retrograde talks about. But with vegetables, I would say that being that they do move because they're growing, you know, things that you may have thought were going to crop up in your harvest are great. And if and certain things that, you know, and the weather's a little wacky. So, you know, and we're in obviously a huge dry season here right now. Can you hear everything? Are you cool?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I was just sensing the retrograding right there happening in the studio. If you speak away from your microphone, Sharita, you hear me on your mind one here, but if he gets right in the center, I hear you clearly.
Oh, okay.
Stereo. That's how this thing is made. There's also a sign in front. That's all because of Mercury.
It's about talking into the wrong
but
side.
But Saturn is leaving us, right? At least.
Saturn has left your sun sign.
Oh, my God.
You must be thrilled because he's been there since the fall of 2007.
Tough one.
It was a tough couple of years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All Virgos.
No. It wasn't nice here last year, but I did have an accident, and that was tough for that. Otherwise, I'm very happy now. Yeah. Now it's going to be, I sense it yesterday. You live in New Brookshire. You have to tell me the work yesterday was here, idyllic situation between the temperature, the sun, the clarity, the quality of the air and the intensity. And what Sharita is doing, she introduced me to work some vegetable recipe who has to do with the planet alignment at the moment.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So I have a few things, and whenever you feel the time is right, Sharita, okay, we can talk about it.
Well, we, in numerology and astrology, of course, everything's guided by the planets, and it is the understanding that whatever sign you are, and we're also going to look at your karmic paths, which is the day of the month. Just look at the simple calendar date, and we'll take John Claude as an example. His Happy New Year is coming up on the 13th of September, yeah, which makes him a four. You take the one and the three, you reduce that to four.
I'm a four.
You're a four. Okay. And your superfood, you're like Popeye, your food is spinach.
Yeah, I love
That's
spinach.
All they tell me about the forest.
I adore spinach.
You hate spinach?
I adore spinach.
You love spinach.
I adore it.
Adore it.
Adoration.
There we go.
Like, totally.
Yeah, it's your superfood.
I could have spinach every day. Fine.
You should have spinach every day.
I know, it's delicious.
Because it really makes you feel like super Jean-Claude when you eat spinach.
I cook at home a lot. I'm now teaching and doing a few things, but basically don't work in restaurant for say. So I cook at home a lot. I have almost a professional kitchen. And the spinach is one thing I have to always want, but we're not alone. Some people are still scared of the spinach.
It's hard to grow it from what I've been told. It's not easy to grow.
Well, I grow sorrel very well, and I have a pretty good vegetable patch, little one. The broccoli is incredible. Zucchini, don't even try again next year. It's unbelievable. I put it in front of my house. They were huge.
They were huge this year. You know, it got so hot at the end of May.
Oh, that's what it is.
And they went. Everything, to me, as far as I've seen it, has been like 2 weeks early this year.
Yeah.
Everything has shown up 2 weeks ahead of time.
Okay.
The whole season.
The eggplant is going to be on my list of talk about vegetable, because it's a very mysterious thing. It's called a shade vegetable.
And it's purple.
Are you aware of the term shade vegetables? Like
nightshades. Nightshades. That's a tomato, right?
Like the tomato.
And
the
eggplant's a nightshade.
Now, do you know why they're called nightshade?
I think because they actually grow. Is it that they grow at night?
Oh, I'm not sure. I don't know.
I have to ask a farmer about that.
And when I know why, when I do the show, when I don't know the thing, I'm not going to go on and call because we sound like like live monkey.
Live monkeys. We're just bringing you some information here. We're not really.
But we're doing a baba ganoush, which is incredible.
Ooh,
yeah.
Baba
ganoush is the Middle Eastern dish. It's absolutely delicious. I learned it from a Lebanese Jewish woman in New York. So you had two cultures. You had Middle Eastern.
They know how to make that.
Jewish culture, and you had the Lebanese too, which what I think come from. And we'll do another thing from the south of France. It's called a tien of vegetable. And it's like an assortment of vegetable together put in fine little layer, baked in the oven.
Ooh,
very good.
Yum. So let's let's see. We'll give our listeners a little tap into what foods align with them, and then we'll journey around the planets as I always like to do. So to start, you have to start with the sun because that's the center of the whole
thing.
And sun will guide any number ones, and that's people that are born on the 1st, the 10th, the 19th, or the 28th of any given month. And also if you're a Leo, you're guided by the sun. And foods for the number ones that are very good for you to eat and on a regular basis in your diet would be raisins, barley bread, barley itself, oranges, lemons, and dates. You have a wonderful variety of herbs from saffron, chamomile, eyebright, cloves, nutmeg, sorrel, lavender, bay leaves, thyme, and myrrh are great things. And that's for the number ones. And then if you're a Leo, fantastic things as well. Those oranges are great to eat. Plums, peas, and the oranges aid in reducing strain on the heart, which is the organ that Leo guides in that zodiac, the body part. So you always want to, if you're a Leo, you got to take care of your heart. And bayberries are wonderful to little remedies for for colds and rheumatism. Walnuts help pain and inflammation in the ears. And marigold, which is actually a flower, but you can make it into a like a suave, and it heals and soothes wounds. And internally, you can eat marigold. It aids in digestion and can be used as a blood purifier and a liver tonic to cleanse the skin.
If you get a nurse to steal your neighbor's marigold, you have to ask him first, okay?
Should always ask before you steal anything.
Even so, it's retrograding. Together.
Even if it's retrograding, he'll really get mad if you steal his marigolds when it's retrograde. It'd be like, what happened? What happened to my marigolds? But now, if you're a number two, you're guided, or a Cancer, you're guided by the lovely moon, which two vibrations are people born on the 2nd of the month, the 11th, the 20th, or the 29th, and your foods are lettuce, cabbages, turnips, cucumber, and melons, along with the herbs of chicory, endive, rapeseed, colewort, moonwort, linseed, water plantain, and ash of willow. Fabulous. And then if you're a Cancer, eating a lot of foods rich in calcium. Anything that has a lot of calcium in it, and we can talk about tons of vegetables that have calcium mm-hmm. in it, things like kale and broccoli are packed full of calcium, so those would be good to eat. Because Cancer and two people are, the stomach is the area of the body that they have to watch out for, they're not really good with the spicier foods because the stomach doesn't deal with it all too well. And other things for Cancers would be watercress, milk, flaxseed, and the oils. These help with inflammation and tumors and diseases of the chest and lungs, because also Cancer rules the breast area. And lemon balm is a wonderful herb, another herb for Cancers, which helps with stomach cramps, gastric ailments, strengthens food assimilation, relieves insomnia, anxiety, which of course, you know, Cancers are known to worry all the time because they're guided by that moon. They're can't balance those emotions out, and also helps strengthen the nerves and offset nervous tension, alleviates menstrual cramps, and just brings a sense of peace and clarity.
What was that last one? What was
lemon balm for Cancers?
Lemon balm is a serious property.
Yeah,
things will calm you down.
Yeah, and it smells good too.
Now, what happened when you're born on the 13th of this month? What
happens if you're born on the 13th?
Yeah.
Well, for you, when you're looking at your, you have a new moon in your sun sign tomorrow, which is fabulous. So it's
a
new, well, it's the moon is like, we can't see the moon. When
oh,
the moon
right,
is
right,
new,
right, right, right.
It's directly in alignment with the sun. So that's why we never see the new moon, because when you look in the sky every day, wherever the sun is the sign we're in. So the moon, as you're looking in the sky the sun right now, as you're looking in the sky, is presently in Virgo. So the moon is in Virgo now too. It just entered it this morning.
We don't see the moon.
So you can't see the moon because it's right near it. It's disguised. It's hiding. But now it will start as of tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It'll start to gather light again. So then you start to see it, and then it moves away sign to sign as it keeps, because the moon only spends about 2.5 days in one sign,
oh, really?
Give or take. That's why Cancers are also known to be moody people, because everything's always constantly changing. But for Virgos, and a Virgo born, and also if you're being Jean-Claude is our example here, he is born on the 13th, but if you're a Virgo born on the 4th of September or the 22nd of September, you also have this information that I'm feeding Jean-Claude here, food for the mind, as we say.
Right.
And you're entering by the numbers. It's a year of your inner work. And you've had 6 years now of your current 9-year cycle. So really what you began
six years
ago is now, you know, like last year was a year where balance and harmony came back into the life. 2 years before that was major movement and change. And of course, that was all when Saturn was doing his thing in your sun sign. But now he's moved on to bother Libras for a couple years, and he wants us to...
Libras?
Yes. Well, he naturally just moves forward to the next sign. So Libras get the responsibility of Saturn for the next couple of years. Libras are going to have to stand up and rise to the challenge. But for Virgo fours, Virgo four is born in September. You guys are doing this lovely inner work year, and it's a year where you're really just going to be enjoying your solitude a little bit more.
Excellent.
You'll be cooking by yourself more. Right? Maybe getting like all these inventive food recipes that you've never ever come up with before. Or if there's something you want to research or analyze, maybe there's a book you want to start to write. Have you written a cookbook?
No, I haven't read a cookbook.
You
I
mean, might want to do that.
A cookbook yet.
You might want to write
I don't
a cookbook.
Know. Well,
no?
It's a venture doing that to involve publishing and financing. People don't think of that, but you'll have to sell 10,000 to return to what you're expanding. Mm-hmm. Then after that, you know, I don't feel.
But that's what you want to do.
Inclined? No, I don't feel inclined to expose it like that.
Okay. No. That's cool.
No. What I do is with a radio show on Wednesday.
Yeah,
I have
well,
the food
sure.
show.
Well, there'll be a lot of interesting things that you're going to come up with this year. Because, of course, you know, being a Virgo and in combination with being a four, you certainly have a very innovative way that you bring your flavor of food to us.
Yeah, so and then, you know, there's a
little different from everybody else.
Okay, but there's definitely people who have it inside themselves, but they never really used it, but so a lot of people know how to combine food the right way. We always need a guideline. I think that's why the show today is there's an influence from the planets, and it does influence, especially in that time of the year, who brings so much vegetable up in the earth. Matter of fact, we are a country, the Berkshire, we are gifted. We can grow vegetables and incredible. It's very fertile around
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah,
seems to be
nice
a
area.
Very, very fertile section. You're gonna, if you see around you when it goes green again when the spring starts, you're gonna see that it gets such a hell of a strong green, which we see sometimes when there's a good rain for the lawn.
Yes,
you know, it becomes a different green.
We haven't had that in a while.
Yeah. No, we're not going to have rain for quite a while. We're maybe next Wednesday.
Very dry. Yeah. Yeah, it's the driest it's been in a long time. But, well, see, the harvest comes in Virgo because she is the sign of harvest. That's what it is. That's why, like, everything is kind of in the most abundance. I mean, not that we don't obviously see it in the previous months in the growing season, but let's say a lot of stuff is available right now. And it's kind of a big, because Virgo is the mutable sign, too, and it's all about changing things. Because when we're in a mutable sign, we're about to switch over into a new season. So we've got, like, the things lingering from our summer, but the fall stuff is starting to crop up.
When did the fall start?
The fall will officially start. It's this year, like, I think it's 11 o'clock at night on the 22nd of September.
September. So, we got a couple of weeks to go.
Yes, we still, I keep telling people, we are still in summer. Summer is still here. I know we went back to school and stuff, but summer is still here. Got to take it.
I'm going to do a recipe.
Okay,
let's talk about the Baba Ganoush.
The Baba Ganoush. And this is great, you know, obviously, everybody can benefit from eggplant, but the sign and number that really benefits the most from eggplant is the Jupiter babies, would be the Jupiter babies.
Sounds like a song of David Bowie, Jupiter babies.
Jupiter babies, maybe. Oh, it does sound like a David Bowie tune. Jupiter would be people born on any three vibration day of the month, which would be the 3rd, the 12th, the 21st, or the 30th. And if you're a Sagittarian, so let's hear what the
Baba Ganoush
is about.
The eggplant came to us from India, and the eggplant is actually a berry which is consumed like a vegetables, so it's called aubergine as well in French. Mm-hmm. And it has been known in Asia for at least 2500 years.
Love it.
Lots of eggplant out
it's
there
been around.
You take an eggplant, the one we have in our market, that the one you need is called the well, actually, not. They are the Western eggplant. They're pretty rounded. There's few kind of eggplant we're getting. We have Thai eggplant, little green one. They have the white eggplant. We've seen that in our market. Then we have the Asian one. We call Japanese eggplant. Mm-hmm. Very skinny. This is not the eggplant you're going to use to make the Baba Ganoush. You want to use nice and fat one. Now, the eggplant has seeds inside. They are bitter. The less seed, the less bitter the eggplant is, but the more seed, the more powerful the eggplant essence is, the what makes an eggplant. So we need a big fat one. And we don't do anything to it. We might want to salt and pepper it. And we put it on a grill, charcoal grill. We burn it.
Mm-hmm.
We burn it. Eggplant have a very thick skin.
Yes.
It's going to become like...
It's tough.
It's going to become like the paper we use in kitchen to bake. Mm-hmm. Almost like that. Brittles. But you're not going to be on the inside. This is why we're doing that. We are getting the eggplant a charcoal taste on a grill. Nice. Then it goes in the oven for a good hour. You don't have to cut it open. Eggplant is going to make a little hole all of a sudden, and the air from inside will go out like that. The steam is escaped like that.
Oh, so you just bake the whole thing. They
put it in the charcoal grill first.
Okay.
Then you cut it in half. You scoop the seeds if they are big and eminent. Then you have a puree of eggplant that you salt and pepper, cue some cayenne pepper, tahini. The sesame seed thing called tahini.
Oh, tahini.
T-A-H-I-N-E. Mm-hmm. In France, they made us taste a talk like northern Morocco and thing. They call it tahini. There's the H. It's tough to take, but it's this is the sesame seed paste that you use with the eggplant meat. It was fully cooked and charcoal flavored. Lemon juice, garlic, a little bit of olive oil, and that's a spray. It's called baba ganoush. Mm-hmm. Baba ganoush means... Baba Ganoush means a spoiled old lady. I don't know why, but it's a Middle Eastern term, the Baba Ganoush. The spoiled old lady, because she eats Baba Ganoush, which is a very refined dish. The way of doing the Baba Ganoush was taught to me by a very small woman who is Lebanese, Jewish, and also, she was also South American.
She was Sagittarius, because Sagittarius is about world culture, and it's so interesting that you're.
We were doing baba ganoush, bastilla, hummus, couscous was a big thing.
Sure,
the good stuff. So this is the baba ganoush, and I think these days the eggplants are pretty good looking. I have some in my garden.
They are. I've been seeing some eggplants as of late, and they're looking quite good. That is fantastic. Lovely. So there is your what to do with your eggplants that are in abundance right now. And it's interesting that that's something I didn't know about the eggplant, is that you said it was a berry.
Yeah.
Because the other things that are really beneficial for the Jupiter people, who are the threes, would be beets. And listen to this list. It's all about berries. Beets, bilberries, asparagus, cherries, barberries, strawberries, apples, mulberries, peaches, olives, rhubarb, gooseberries, pomegranates, endive, pineapples, grapes, almond, figs, and hazelnuts, and all the wheat products, which is very, very interesting. And the herbs are borage, dandelion, which dandelion is interesting, and I'll get that to Sagittarius, why dandelion is so beneficial to the Jupiter influenced people. You're also looking at, for number three herbs, would be sage, mint, saffron again, nutmeg, cloves, and sweet marjoram, and the St. John's wort. And if you're a Sagittarius, of course, the asparagus comes up again, and cucumbers also work well. But back to the dandelion, it helps clean the urinary passages, which this is an herb that it's a perfect antidote to the high energy and occasionally excessive lifestyle that the Sagittarius and even the three soul likes to lead. Too much alcohol, too many drugs, fatty foods, and rich meals can tax the liver, and dandelion cleanses and strengthens this organ optimally. The root of this herb can also help increase the flow of bile and has a mild laxative effect.
We get as kids in France, we dandelion tea.
Yeah.
To go to the bathroom.
You know, and that really, you know, for any soul, any of these, you know, things are great, but because, you know, one number or sign tends to do something a little differently than another, those herbs that we're talking about are recommended to just help, you know, whatever your lifestyle is about, to keep you in tune with yourself is always what we like to do. So do you have a good spinach recipe?
Sure.
Because we're going to talk about the fours and then the asparagus, the Aquarius.
Well, the best spinach, the one I think was the tastier, is the big leaf, the crinkled leaves. The big one, the size of your hand.
Right, not the baby spinach.
The baby spinach is very sweet, and I think it's a bit of a boutique thing because the vegetable itself is not mature, so the full flavor is not there.
Right.
A full flavor of spinach is unbelievable. Mm. There is a sauce in French cuisine called Florentine that you put on poached eggs. And it goes like this. You take the spinach and you hold the leaf on your hand, but you expose the inside of the leaf, which has a rib. Right. Then you pull the rib out of the two pieces of spinach while still in your hand, get rid of the rib, it's inedible. And then after that, you blanch the spinach fast in boiling water. Then you cool them off and you press them. Out of the whole thing, you can have a little bowl, but you cut that very thin and you put that in a nice bechamel sauce, which is a milk-based sauce with nutmegs, fresh thyme, a little bit of onion, and fuse in the oven for an hour. Then it's thick up, you know, and then you put that on top of poached eggs in the oven. You get a gratin a little bit with Swiss cheese, but the spinach on it has to be luscious when you do it like that. So yeah. We used to do that and have it on hand and up to put together.
That's so interesting. I've never known to take the rib out of it.
Yeah.
That's a very good
thing. It's large like that. This little baby spinach doesn't really matter. We treat the same way. But the large crinkled leaves are the one you have to clean it from. Or you can use a little paring knife.
Yeah, because spinach is always full of dirt, I have always
known. Well, you want to clean that.
It's a tricky one.
If it's especially if it starts to rain. That's how the vegetable gets
dirty.
The
dirt moves around and bounces all over.
Because people remember the parsley when they pick on a regular basis.
Oh, I know.
Sometimes full of dirt because of rain.
And leeks are like that, too. So, well, guess what time it is, Jean-Claude? It's noon at WBCRLP 97.7 FM, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. And we're going to pause for just a few moments and bring you, we'll be right back with our fantastic Jean-Claude and talking about recipes and planetary foods and fun stuff. But we have a few public service announcements to let you know about what's happening in our beautiful, beautiful Berkshire and late summer area. And you are invited to the Sushi Fest on September 9th. Coming up, I believe that's this Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. at Taylor's Fine Dining. It's at 34 Holden Street in North Adams, Mass. It's a unique fundraising event to benefit Alzheimer's Association and sponsored by the Berkshire Elder Law Center. You can experience a delectable array of sushi meticulously prepared by Chef James Hugh, former Jaye's Inn sushi chef. I'm probably not going to say that right. Enjoy this delicacy with samplings of sake and Japanese beer. You can learn about the origins of sushi and witness a sushi-making demonstration. Ooh, how fun. There will also be a silent auction featuring the works of local artists, including jewelry, pottery, art, etc., as well as door prizes and raffles. For tickets or information, you can contact Jim Sisko of the Berkshire Law Center at 413-644-7700, and donations are always welcome. So that's the Sushi Fest this upcoming Thursday evening from 6 to 9 p.m. over in North Adams. Check that out if you're a sushi fan. That sounds like totally a bunch of fun. Let's see what else is going on here. How about, ooh, Grammy nominee Bernie Williams is going to be performing at the Mahaley. Let's see what more info about that. Recently, and this is so much fun. I did not know this about him until I did my own little lexigram research recently. But recently nominated for a Latin Grammy Award, critically acclaimed guitarist, songwriter, and famed New York Yankees star Bernie Williams is perhaps more recognized by baseball fans for playing all 16 years of his career for the New York Yankees, winning 4 World Series and holding an overall .308 batting average, in addition to many other his many other achievements. However, Bernie Williams is now wowing fans and fellow artists in musical venues. Bernie's first album garnered critical acclaim and was featured on the Billboard Top 100. A classically trained guitarist, playing and composing music is Bernie's first true passion, with influences that include jazz, classical pop, Brazilian, and Latin sounds. In addition to playing lead and rhythm guitar, Williams' compositions mix Bernie's love of jazz with the sophisticated Latin rhythms of his Puerto Rican heritage. You can contact he is going to, and that's going to be the 24th of that was the 24th of September that he's going to be at the Mahaley. I'm just going to find this again. I don't have my normal thing that I see here. Yes, Friday, September 24th at 8 p.m. And if you want some tickets, you can contact the Mahaley at 413-528-0100. And that's Wednesday through Saturday, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. or log on to their website 24 hours a day at www.mahaiwe.org and reserve your tickets there. Interesting about Bernie Williams, I think he shares your birthday, Jean-Claude. I think he's a Virgo 4. If he's not your day, he's the 4th, and his birthday just passed. But this is his inner work and year of getting away from it all, too. Interesting that he's doing a music tour.
Right.
Yeah.
So, do you give music to your listener?
Do I give music? Do I tell them what music to...
That's another thing, too.
To listen to?
Yeah, because, you know... Yeah, why not? You don't think about it.
Well, we all... Yeah, we all...
Guys wants to be late at night lying in their lawn when there's a lot of stars and looking at the planet aligning. Or retrograding, for the matter. I seen that in a show once. I couldn't believe it. They were showing with a white line, right?
Yeah.
How in the sky that planet retrograde.
Yeah.
They were making some twists and turns. Mm-hmm. I can't believe what's going on out there. No wonder
the universe,
the car won't stop. In the winter.
the universe is a fascinating place. But yes, Mercury loves to play card tricks on people when it's retrograding. Or anything like, you know, the station antenna not working right. Or the computer doesn't work right. Or Lord knows, whatever mechanism it is that deals with communicating, he will throw a little trick your way. You know, it's what he likes to do.
He's the Greek god of the messages.
Messenger.
He's got the little wings on his...
wings on his
ankle,
feet. He's moving. Mercury is quick.
He is not a slow dude at all.
He's a very fast moving boy. But I mean, it's interesting, like things that also happen under Mercury retrograde, we can get so many miscommunications under this transit because it's just not optimal that, you know, so you got to be very cautious. It's not that you can't, like, you can do a lot of reflecting. And I call it the REs of Mercury retrograde. It's anything, any word that begins with RE in front of it, you can do. Reconnect, revisit, redo, reorganize.
Rejuvenate.
Revise, rejuvenate, rejoice, relax.
What about the little recipe of vegetable?
Yes.
This is a word to use your zucchini.
This is how to use your zucchini. You know, funny, zucchini isn't recommended for any sign. I don't have that listed anywhere, but we have the abundance.
We have the abundance.
I think it's like maybe we'll call it the universal vegetable.
I think we're gifted. I think we're lucky. Then we use tomato. Now, and then we use eggplant, and we use garlic, and olive oil, and fresh rosemary, and fresh thyme. This is a vegetable who is served in the south of France, the Provence, where they take the tomato, who are very good from the vine, the good side, and they slice it thin. They take the eggplant and they slice it them thin. They take the zucchini and slice it thin. After that, we make concoctions in your food processor of olive oil, garlic, fresh thyme, rosemary, and then with a brush, we're going to brush the vegetable individually. Mm. And then you have the eggplant who goes in the oven to pre-cook them, 475 until it's nice and brown. Eggplant, I have to tell you, there's one thing I hate is a raw eggplant. Unless we marinate it. But some people miss it. And you see in the middle is still raw. I don't like that. That's not a vegetable I think is made to do
it's
that.
It's not meant to be ate.
No, it's made to eat it like this thing.
No.
I'm just saying that.
No, I wouldn't eat it raw either.
It's super
like a potato.
Luscious,
you can't eat a potato raw.
No, not really. Not really. So then you take a sheet pan, you know, a place like that with maybe circle if you want. And then you make basically a bottom of sliced zucchini or brushed with these concoctions of garlic and herbs. Salt and pepper, a little bit of cayenne pepper at night. And then you put on top the slice of eggplant, who are pre-cooked in the oven. And then you put on top a slice of tomato. And you make a little layer like this and then a round shape of your vegetable. That goes in the oven for 45 minutes and it becomes one. They seems like they are welded together. And the flavor, because you brush them individually with this garlic, olive oil, fresh rosemary and fresh thyme. All of the taste will come from the beauty of the vegetable.
Yeah.
So if you think at home you have a great zucchini and you're doing great tomato, this is a way to taste the food.
Yeah.
And
you just
want
to enhance the natural
flavor. You want
flavor
to enhance the flavor.
What the vegetable is, not mask it.
Yeah. There's all kinds of things to do with vegetables. And when you live in a Berkshire, you basically can grow anything you want. I think the only thing we cannot really grow well are things who are from exotic regions.
Exactly.
Avocado, you know, even some people do grow avocado here in our house. Things like orange and lemon, lime, it's not going to do well up here.
No, you don't have the Floridian climate for that, unfortunately.
But it's delicious, too. So here's a way to deal with the endive, Belgian endive.
Ah, okay. So this is for people who, we just mentioned, well, endive is for three. Well, you know, everybody can eat whatever they want, but we'll keep going with the list after you're done with this.
The endive is, if it grows in your garden, which is not easy to do, has to be waiting. So that means you cannot see the light of the sun for a while. Otherwise, you become like a radicchio. You become like that. See, the endive is a chicory. So is a radicchio. So is the curly.
Right.
Yes, it's all chicories. Right. Mm-hmm. And also is a dandelion. That is a chicory.
It's a chicory, yeah. In the chicory family.
Chicory family.
Yeah.
And they have a great effect on our digestive systems,
yes,
all of them.
All of them do.
Anybody
You're
has
right.
problem, have some lettuce sometime. You'll see. Spinach, I'm known for that. Even so, it's not quite true. Because the amount of iron in spinach may be less than potatoes. So
yeah.
We were just trying to have all the kids eating it in 1940 with Popeye.
I'll explain after you're done why the... why that spinach is so important for the fours, but we'll go back to that.
So when the endive is cut in half in a roast, the roast states, and it's basically brushed with a little bit of butter, salt and pepper, and it's put with half liquid in a little braising pan, meaning that half of the endive is above the cooking liquid and half of it is underneath. It is called braising. It's a long process of cooking. It's called slow cooking. So you can really appreciate what you're doing. That goes in the oven just like that. And then at time you try to baste them a little bit with the cooking liquid, which is basically, if you're a vegetarian, it's a nice vegetable broth, which you make yourself. And if you're not, it's a chicken stock, which is what they do in French restaurant. But the endive is totally cooked, like baked, with that flavor. You take it out and you shape it like a little deck of cards. And that goes back in the oven with the cooking liquid reduced, basted on time, so it becomes glazed. So we have glazed endive.
Yum. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm thinking of like glazed onions, too.
Yes.
It's nothing, like candy.
It's like candy. But that's what happened. The sugar do reduce. Yes, and the protein.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, interesting, you know, because you brought up about the spinach again, and the fours, and that's anybody who's born. You're guided by Uranus if you're a four, and also an Aquarius if you're, that's your planet for being, if you're guided by that zodiac sun sign. And spinach is the food that is, it's the only food that the four gets for some reason, and not that you can't eat anything else, but you really need a lot of spinach because it has the iron, because you're not recommended to eat red meat, that you're allergic to it, so to speak. The ancients say that the four vibrations, which would be fours, 13s, 22s, or 31st of the months, are allergic to red meat.
I don't eat much red meat, but I like it, I must say. So
that
maybe
you like it. But it's like, you know how people, like, some people eat red meat every day or
Once a month.
You're meant to, yeah, and that's perfect. But because of the lack of...
I'm a fish guy. I love fish.
We normally, yeah, but yes, all fours I know love fish. Or they love the water, the ocean. It's very funny.
Yeah.
But if you do eat the meat, to season the meat with sage, because the sage
helps the digestion
for you, because you naturally just don't know what to do with it. It may taste certainly very good, but your body doesn't react well to it.
I was working with this chef at the Rainbow Room in New York, and there was an Italian restaurant up to the 64th floor of the Rockefeller Center.
Oh, yes.
Very fancy. And then they were doing a veal scallopini saltambuca, which means scallopini or veal jump in your mouth. And then there is a little bit of a sage butter in between, a little bit of melted cheese. And that thing was incredibly potent. It was delicious. That
sage
dish.
Is very potent herb.
And the sage joby, too, from England, the cheese with the sage.
Oh, I love that, too.
And the French do rillette with sage, which is another thing with pork.
Mm-hmm.
So the sage have a very strong medicinal beginning. In the medieval time, they were not using spice to eat.
Right.
They were using spice to heal.
To heal it, yeah.
So they had garden called spice garden. Mm-hmm. The priest mostly, or the monk, would grow the wine and then grow the herbs.
Mm-hmm.
They made ointment.
Fascinating.
We got a little bit of a planet retrograding who came to our line for a second.
That's it.
Because we're talking about Mercury.
Yeah, I know. He comes.
Anytime you say that, I can see the guy with the little...
He's like, I'm here.
Little rings in his...
throwing my little tricks at you.
He also had a cute helmet.
He does.
But he had a little red.
He's always bumping into stuff.
Yeah, but he has wings and a helmet, doesn't he?
Probably in some mythological.
But I'm gonna say that he wore a funny outfit. The one I know has a little wrinkled skirt, like the Greek.
Yes, little pleats on his skirt.
I think we have to redo him a little bit.
He's cute. Yes, we should. Mercury for the modern age. I think we.
Thinking of an outfit to resist the heat of the sun. You know, we can silver.
Yeah. So the other one of for Aquarius, pomegranates are very beneficial for Aquarians to eat, and also to have lavender around, using it in all sorts of ways, because we can also ingest lavender, and it has a sweet, unmistakable odor. And this lovely herb can be used in oil, in baths, and in incense to relieve tension, anxiety, insomnia. But internally, it has an overall strengthening effect on the nerves, which Aquariuses tend to, and four energies will do this too. You get a little too much in the head. You're too much because you're an air sign, so you think.
So what is good for that, the pomegranate?
Pomegranates are good for Aquariuses, but the lavender also has an excellent effect on the digestive tract and helps to process and assimilate.
There's nothing
food.
Better than lavender honey.
Yeah, or and lavender
the
tea.
The bees been doing in the lavender.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And also, because Aquariuses and fours need to watch how blood is circulating through the body, they need to watch their blood pressure. And lavender lowers the blood pressure. And it calms, you know, hearts that are prone to palpitations and things like that. It also helps heal burns and stings. And it also helps lift depression, because Aquarians tend to get a little stagnant and get stuck in things. And fours can do that too. If they just get too stuck in thinking too much about one thing, because they're always in the thought process about how to improve everything. But it helps remove that feeling of being stagnant, and it enlivens the heart.
That's lavender.
That's lavender. And that's really for fours and for
girls. My mother used to put lavender between the sheets in the cupboard.
Oh, yeah. So I use them in the laundry, the little lavender sachet.
Well, we do that,
I won't use those sheet things. They're terrible. So on to Mercury. What Mercury is recommends for all the people. If you're a five, and that would be born on the 5th, the 14th, 23rd of any given month, your beneficial foods are carrots, parsnips, sea kale, oatmeal breads, parsley, nuts, and especially walnuts and hazelnuts. And your herbs are the sweet marjoram and caraway seeds and the thyme. Geminis, who are ruled by Mercury, lettuce and cauliflower help to combat bronchitis. And of course, Gemini rules the lungs, so that is a wonderful remedy for that. Carrots help if you need to conceive. Carrots tend to help conception. Interesting.
The carotene.
And Geminis, because they also deal with the nerves, lavender is also recommended for them as well. But peppermint is the biggest herb for a Gemini. It's used as well for digestion.
Yep.
But it also deals with chilling out the nerves. It's like if Geminis want to substitute coffee, because they really don't need, Mercury people do not need any more stimulation than they already have from being guided by the planet that moves everything around. So peppermint is a wonderful coffee substitute, because it helps, again, it enlivens that spirit, and it allows friendly people to show up in your life. And Gemini is the friendliest sign we've got going. They'll talk to anybody. So, and Virgos, you, dear Jean-Claude, of course, beneficial foods and herbs.
I talk to a lot of people.
Because you're directly guided by Mercury.
I talk to 5,000 people on Wednesday.
I bet you do. You're not afraid, no. And especially you being a four, you like, you know, you have this thing about, you just like all humanity, you don't cast a lot of judgment around. You're very tolerant of a lot of things.
Well, he comes to appreciate what's around you and be grateful.
Yes, that's wonderful.
That's all it is.
The wonderful affirmation, always be grateful.
You know, you can get mad, you can have your opinion, you can do whatever.
Absolutely.
But we live all together, so what's the sense to throw it on somebody or project it on somebody without knowing? That's what...
Right.
So when you start to have the knowledge of what you're doing in terms of what I just said, then all you have to decide is, do I go this way or this way? I always make a point to go in a positive direction. Somehow you return good vibration.
Mm-hmm.
When you smile on the streets, when you pass people, they smile to you.
They do.
Everybody.
If you frown,
the little baby.
You get a frown back.
Well, there was a clinic in London, this woman of a private apartment, and she basically does fast therapy, laughing therapy. She receives everybody who comes, patient, and laugh like, ha, 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 Everybody laugh all night long.
Well, here's two.
Number $50, please.
Here's you know I do the lexigram. So here's two lexigrams dealing with a smile goes for miles. Smile spells miles,
yeah.
And laughter heal the great heart.
All right,
and heal the great earth. So laughter is wonderful. Yes, it's very
laughter is very therapeutic for people.
It's perfect, and the earth appreciates it just as much. So, but of course, earth and heart are the very same letters. If you just rearrange them a little bit. So for Virgos, lemons are great to ease tendency for dandruff and skin eruptions. The caraway helps digestion and sharpens the eyesight. And oatmeal is oats in any form are a wonderful source of vitamins for Virgos. And minerals and proteins. It contains the alkaloid known as avenine. I'm not saying that right either. It's A-V-E-N-I-N-E. And that helps relax the central nervous system as well, because again, we're dealing with mercury, and mercury is, people run on the nerves that deal with
so
mercury.
Does the pomegranate. It gets a great alkaloid.
Yeah.
Just like the red wine.
And it helps. Yeah, so it helps. It's a wonderful remedy for those who have been weakened and exhausted from stress, tension, overwork. Oats gently lift the spirits while strengthening the entire immune system. Externally, they aid to heal skin conditions due to their high level of the salicylic acid. So that's good for the...
What kind of acid?
Salicylic? I don't know why I have, like, you know, it's not that I stutter, but I just...
I tell them on the radio, I say, so frankly, if I'm not pronouncing it right, don't get offended, I'm just French.
Exactly. That's what I say too.
So people say, well, you're French, you can get away with it.
I'm not French, but I just, you know, I'm human, and that's all I'm going to say about that. So do we have any more recipes, Jean-Claude?
Well, we do. We have something about the zucchini again, because I think...
More zucchini.
Everybody
has zucchini right now.
I don't know what to do with it. They really don't. They'll come to your house and say, I got a present for you, and they drop their zucchini.
That's so true.
I give some to everyone who come by.
Oh, but I've already got some.
You take your coat and come to my house. I could be a zucchini in your pocket. Well... The courgette is a French name for zucchini. It's very much used in the South, and it's also the right vegetable of the season. Don't know why you don't have it in everywhere, but you do. You do have the squash, don't you?
Well, you know,
zucchini is a squash.
Yes, it's one of the squashes.
It's got a beautiful little orange flower, which people use.
I love those
and stuff it and do that. It's very boutique things to do. You know, you go to your friend out. You should see what I did with my zucchini flower. The French, they bake it. They put it in the oven and make it, like I did the tien de l'oignon. They put some in masses and put it in the oven. It becomes like a pâté of zucchini flour.
So you take the zucchini flowers and bake them?
And you blanch it again. You have to blanch it so it doesn't burn right away. And then it goes on a gratin dish in the oven.
What do you put on the flowers?
It shows when it's cooked, it shows like...
You put them in like a little egg or flour or something?
It'll go into a gratin dish, you know, it goes in the oven. And on top, there'll be the zucchini flour that you blanch in water. And then you open it. So it shows the zucchini flour was like baked. Like we do impressions of leaves sometimes. That look.
Okay.
Like you do a dried leaf.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
So that so you can do that too.
You flatten them out.
It's very good to do that too, to dry it out, to put in your book. It's a great little scent, the zucchini flower. Then after I treat the whole zucchini, that's what I stuffed. You can take your zucchini and get rid of both extremities and cut it in half and saute it briefly in butter with salt and pepper. And then you can take a little teaspoon and scrape the meat out of the middle, which is now soft by the sauteing in a pan. You can even make it a nice little coloration for taste. That is mixed with concoctions of some oatmeal or breadcrumbs, it's up to you, the fresh herbs, the garlics, and for the courgette, we're going to put an egg in that when you make like 10 stuffed zucchini. You know what I mean? That's not that much. It's going to be a quarter and a half of stuffing. It's very meticulous. It is a little thing. If you do it right, it is succulent. This is like perfect way to taste your vegetable. That goes back in the cavities of the zucchini. It was half cooked. The whole concoctions of the meat, one eggs, the to breadcrumbs, garlic, fresh herbs. You can put tomato in there too, but it's, you have to remember that you're doing that, it's going to be very wet. So you got to maybe more breadcrumbs, or use the inside of the bread, the white part. Mm-hmm. So it makes it a bit more, cohering together. So right, when it goes in the oven, put some Parmesan cheese right on top. So that goes in the oven and let them cook all the way. Even put it in a braising pan with a little bit of chicken stock on the bottom again, so they don't dry too fast.
Right.
And that's a cooking liquid that you use, reduce, and put on top when you serve it. Just like that. And then you'll get your friend coming back for the, you get your friend coming back for the Sunday brunch.
I have forgotten, you know, it's like funny because there's so many zucchini around it. I have forgotten all about how to just bake, you know, cut them in half and stuff them. Thank you for that.
Italian do a fried zucchini. They cut it in small little matches.
That's my other favorite thing to do with zucchini.
Very
just
good.
Just bread them up and
put them in
them.
The oven. You don't even have to fry them if you're afraid of the oil. See, I'm done with the oil. I don't want to fry. So you drizzle some butter on top of oil. And it goes in the oven until it's like crispy. Oh, crisp of zucchini. There we go. Yep. It doesn't stop.
So, and then we have just a
the show stop, but not the zucchini
left. Now, do you have anything about tomatoes? Because
sure.
That's our number nine. We're gonna. If you're listening live right now, we'll post all of the other interesting things for foods.
I'm going to give you a very fast tomato sauce when you're ready.
And for number nines, if you're a Mars baby, being born in the ninth of the month, which would be the 9th, the 18th, or the 27th, or if you're an Aries, you're guided by Mars, and tomatoes, onions, garlic, horseradish, all those fun things are great for you. Mustard seed, ginger, things with kick. To it for sure. And tomatoes really, they just, if you're not eating enough tomatoes and you're a nine vibration or an Aries, you can kind of get depressed. So you need your, the tomatoes contain a high quantity of potassium phosphate, and that, if it's depleted, causes depression. So that is, because nine rules the head, so you have to be cautious of that. So what do we do with our tomatoes? Because they're everywhere, too.
You treat your tomato to make a tomato sauce, for instance, fresh tomato. You're going to have to émonder the tomatoes, a French culinary term. It means to peel them and seed them. And to do that, you plunge the tomato after it's been a little bit crushed on the bottom of the tomato with a little paring knife, and you remove the tip who was on the vine. That goes in boiling water for 30 seconds. Get it out, and then you can squeeze basically the skin off while you run into water or without the water. Then you cut your tomato in a half lengthwise and you squeeze it softly with your hand, with the pits in the middle will going running on the plate. Or you can use a little spoon and get them out if you don't want your hand to be so dirty. Those seeds can be dried and planted. Now the skin too is used. It's dried and powdered, and you can put on top of bread. The tomato is incredible. It's like the pork meat. It's very versatile. Do you have a way to do that thing so that tomato is ready to make a sauce? Chop a little tomato and put it in a lot of extra virgin olive oil with some garlic, which is going to make the oil so hot. The garlic is going to brown a little bit and flavor the oil. You plunge the tomato in that and cover it. There's a lot of water here. And that's a very fast tomato sauce because of the amount of olive oil you're using, more than usual. That's going to become a tomato sauce was made in Rome because the chef told me it was a Roman guy in New York. Right from the source over here. They do fast tomato sauce in restaurant. Delicious. Different oil, rosemary oil. Things is like that.
I love it. And I happen to be a nine, so I'm happy to learn about that recipe because I have a lot of tomatoes. Jean-Claude, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, you're welcome.
This was fantastic.
And you're welcome. We'll see you tomorrow, people, at Wednesday at 12 noon.
Absolutely. I hope everyone benefited from today's advice and wisdom. It surely makes eating vegetables and all of our foods all the more interesting. You can tune in and listen to Jean-Claude every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. here on 97.7 FM, WBCRLP, Great Barrington. And I will post the rest of the planetary guiding foods on the blog, which is sharitastarradio.blogspot.com. And if you've got a question or comment, please email me, sharitastarradio@gmail.com. And because we always want to know what's happening. We'll be back. the next time on the 21st of September with special live musical guest Christina D'Elia, talking all about the difference a year makes, along with the celebration of her new CD, Music in Me. We hope you are better from our hour together. Namaste, my dear stars. Happy Tuesday.
Well, I must admit it took me by surprise, but it keeps getting better every day. Yes, you keep